Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome again to All About Living, now available on Facebook. Can you imagine? So if you want to be a friend of All About Living, all you need to go to is to go to Facebook and click on All About Living, and you can be a friend. And I'm not exactly sure how to do all of that. All of that technology actually defies me at some time. But anyway, I'm pleased to have friends coming to us on Facebook. And of course, we're always available on carolcobyradio.com, Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y radio.com, as well as live here every Saturday noon on WTDY 1670. And right now, I suspect most of the people have finished or are finishing the Crazy Legs race. I hope everybody's had a wonderful time, including my husband. He was up and out early this morning already to, he wasn't going to run, he was going to walk this year. But all excited to do it, and he's done it every year, and it's really a regular on everybody's, a whole bunch of people's annual calendar. So hope you had a really, really good time doing that. It would not be appropriate to continue with this program without stopping for just a moment to extend our wishes for some kind of decent recovery from the devastation, the death, the damage that's been done in many of our southern states, Alabama in particular, because of the tornadoes that were like something I guess we haven't had here in our country since the mid-50s. What a terrible situation they have, and they're just beginning to dig out, and all of that progress that they're making isn't bringing a whole bunch of positive results. They're finding bodies, and it must be just terrible to be there right now and see communities just wiped out. The power of nature. But yesterday, in the midst of all of this devastation and the many, many challenges that we have worldwide, we had a real-life fairy tale going on. And yes, I did it. I set the alarm. I was up at 4 a.m., and I'm not an early morning person. I was propped up, put this pillow up behind my back, and propped myself up and turned on the TV and sat there mesmerized for a couple of hours as I watched the wedding of William and Kate. And no matter what you say, I hope that I am not that jaded. And so far, everybody I've talked to, it was absolutely beautiful. And as my husband said last night when we were watching, I don't know, the umpteenth rerun of it on the news, he said, you know what? Just to look at that woman makes it worthwhile seeing repeats and repeats of the royal wedding. She is absolutely gorgeous. I think what made it special was not only that everything was meticulous in the way it was done, but they seem like they really, really are in love, that they really care about each other, and they're decent, nice people. And you like to see nice people that you can relate to get together and present it to the nation. And I think the interest was, it takes me back to my childhood, and I think of my little granddaughter, Kaya, who loved, especially when she was about 5 years old, all of the princess books. And you have to wear a little tiara, and she even went to school with it on. And there's a stage that girls go through in being a princess. Well, I think we are just, this is our adult way of returning to our childhood and reading those little princess books in our childhood. So it was a beautiful wedding, and we certainly wished them well. And one thing about it, Catherine, is a university-educated, confident young woman. And that's one of the reasons that they're saying, you know, this is really going to be and has the potential of being a strong marriage, because she is her own person. She's making her own decisions, and we're looking down the road that she will continue to have that kind of influence in the lives they lead. And this is a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about the empowered woman, the woman who has been educated and knowledgeable and equipped with what she needs to know to make the proper choices in her life. That is part of the mission of Planned Parenthood. And our guests today on All About Living are two people from the Planned Parenthood organization. Meg Robertson is here in the studio with me, and she's a nurse practitioner and lead clinician for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. And she's also been trained as a SANE nurse, which means that's an acronym for Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner. And this is really important with Wisconsin's Compassionate Care for Rape Victims Law in how to humanely and professionally deal with women who have been raped in Wisconsin. Also joining Meg on the telephone is Tanya Atkinson. And Tanya is the executive director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. And she works with officials, both elected and appointed, to ensure the compliance with laws in Wisconsin that are protecting women's health. The Planned Parenthood organization has been in existence for 95 years nationally. It is the nation's leading sexual and reproductive health care provider and advocate. Planned Parenthood health centers and international partners provide contraception, testing, and treatment for sexually transmitted infections and life-saving cancer screenings to millions of people in the U.S. and 10 other countries. With a presence in all 50 states and Washington, D.C., Planned Parenthood has 84 affiliates, which operate more than 800 health centers. Planned Parenthood Wisconsin has been in existence since 1935 and has grown to be Wisconsin's largest and most trusted health provider. So with that said, 75 years for Wisconsin, almost 100 years, almost a century for our nation. My first question to our guests is, what is going on with Planned Parenthood? It is in the news. It is controversial. It may lose funding. It sounds like this terrible existence of an organization in our country that doesn't deserve to be here and is not providing a necessary need. And Tanya, perhaps you might take that question and answer it from your particular perspective. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. We appreciate being on the program this afternoon. Yes, there is definitely a lot going on with Planned Parenthood, and you made mention that some people believe that, you know, our work is not important. But here in Wisconsin, we, in the last year, served over 73,000 people across the state. So we've been here for 75 years. We celebrated our 75th anniversary last year, and we've been around for 75 years providing this, you know, very, very critical care. You know, we provide, and Meg will talk about this more, but we provide the full range of reproductive health care for women, including breast and cervical cancer screening, STD testing and treatment, of course, birth control, and we also offer comprehensive sexuality education for adults and teens. And those are absolutely critical services that need to be maintained, and we, of course, have similar partners across the state as well, and it's not just Planned Parenthood that's being attacked here in Wisconsin. It's all the family planning providers across the state, and for, you know, for those women who come to us for services, for a lot of them, we are their only option. We are the only place that they can come and get care, and that's actually very fantastic because we have wonderful providers like Meg that provide this comprehensive care.
It seems that when the discussion of Planned Parenthood comes up, the word abortion is always included in it, and Senator John Kyle of Arizona made the outrageous comment, and I will editorialize and say that it is outrageous, when he said on the floor of the Senate that well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood's activities are related to abortion. And that number is actually 3% from what I understand. And that was when that was pointed out, Kyle's office put out a clarification saying the senator's statements weren't intended to be factual. Well, that is just really egregious that he could get up on the Senate floor and make a statement to the nation that was so totally erroneous. And apparently the Library of Congress gives the right for congressional individuals to change what they say on the floor of the Senate or the Congress. And he did edit the transcript. So instead of saying what it did originally, it did say, if you want an abortion, you go to Planned Parenthood, and that's well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does. It was changed to read, If you want an abortion, you go to Planned Parenthood, and that is what Planned Parenthood does. He didn't really back down and change the remark to include all of the services that are the primary things that you do. Is that, can you respond to the involvement of abortion in the conversation and where that really should be placed in when we're looking on the whole picture of what Planned Parenthood does and how you deal with something like Senator Kyle's comment?
Absolutely. I can't really speak too much to Senator Kyle's comment. It was very... It was outrageous. It was jaw-dropping because, in fact, 97% of what we do is prevention. 3% nationally of our services are related to abortion. And in Wisconsin, it's even less than 3%. And while it's only a small part of our services, we know that it's an absolutely critical component of comprehensive women's health care. And, you know, over and over again, the research consistently shows that when abortion is illegal or heavily restricted, women die. And we saw it happen in our country not long ago, and I don't ever want to go back. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin does not ever want to go back. Women deserve a safe, compassionate medical setting for abortion care. And that is, you know, that is at, you know, the heart of the matter is that, you know, this care still needs to be provided. But what's actually happening, though, is while abortion is mentioned always in these conversations, what is being attacked is also the prevention services. And we saw it at the national level with trying to restrict all funding, all federal funding to Planned Parenthood, which is primarily preventive services. And we saw them try to eliminate the Title X program, which doesn't just provide reproductive health care to Planned Parenthood patients, it provides reproductive health care to patients across the country. So while there is certainly a tendency for people to automatically, you know, talk about abortion in that context, what's really being attacked is the prevention care. And that's what we are absolutely trying as hard as possible to make sure that that care is maintained and that women can come in who need those services can come in and get those services, the life-saving breast and cervical cancer screening and the STD testing and treatment and the birth control, of course. So that's what's really being attacked along with the abortion care. So it's not just the abortion care that these anti-choice, anti-birth control elected officials are after. They're after the full range of women's reproductive health care.
Meg, the word comprehensive care is included in what Planned Parenthood's mission is. And comprehensive care gives women information about all of their options. And it's very clear and important to you to have make sure that women know all their options so they can make informed decisions for themselves. Let's move from the abortion, which now is, we know, is only 3% of what Planned Parenthood does. Tell me, what are the services offered here in the state of Wisconsin to women through Planned Parenthood, and where are they located and how many clinics?
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has 27 health centers located statewide. We have centers in Madison, Milwaukee, all the way up to Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire. So it's a very vast array of clinics statewide. And in every one of our health centers, we provide very comprehensive care, like I mentioned, which primarily focuses on preventative health care, including life-saving cancer screenings. So pap testing, breast exams, testicular exams, prostate exams. We also offer health screenings such as STD testing and treatment and STD prevention counseling. And then, of course, we also provide birth control, which is also a preventative medicine.
Who are the women that receive these various treatments and examinations?
We see a vast array of women. It's not just teens. It's not just adolescent women. We also see men. We see women into their 40s. We treat women for perimenopausal conditions. We see a wide range. And they're not all just low-income women either. We have a fair number of women who come to us with commercial insurance, who've been receiving our services for years and choose to come to us because they know that we're a trusted agency that will provide them with the most evidence-based and accurate reproductive health care information and provide very compassionate care.
Where does the funding come from for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin? These women, you said, some of them are low income, but not everyone is. If How do they pay for it? How are those services paid for? Is it through a Medicaid program or Medicare, or is this truly separate funding that is set aside for women's health, comprehensive women's health?
We receive a variety of funding, including private donations, and our centers are set up all slightly differently, depending on what funding is received. Within each center, however, we always work on what's called a sliding fee scale. So in some of our centers, despite funding or whether or not a patient has insurance or money at all, we are able to provide services at very low or no cost to them.
There are services, all of them, that are being put at risk in the state of Wisconsin, not just nationally. And we want to talk about those services that are at risk and what the funding is to the state of Wisconsin and what potentially can be lost or gained depending on what happens with the funding, because the legislature is still currently debating this. Our guests today on All About Living are Tanya Atkinson, who is the executive director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and Meg Robertson, nurse practitioner and the lead clinician to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Our phone numbers are 321-1670, 321-1670, or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone if you'd like to join in the conversation, if you have a question of either of our guests. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Kobe, and this segment of our program has been brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. We'll be right back with our conversation about Planned Parenthood after these messages. Welcome back to our program. Our guests today are Meg Robertson, who's a nurse practitioner and lead clinician for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, and Tanya Atkinson, who's executive director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. And obviously, we're talking about Planned Parenthood. Just a couple of interesting facts about Planned Parenthood. One in five women in the U.S. has visited a Planned Parenthood health center. And without women's reproductive health care, providers like Planned Parenthood, researchers at the Guttmacher Institute projected the abortion rate in Wisconsin would be 42% higher, and our teen pregnancy rate would go up by more than a third. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention lists family planning as one of the top 10 public health achievements of the 21st century because publicly supported family planning clinics are a proven and cost-effective way to reduce negative health outcomes associated with unintended pregnancies, including insufficient prenatal care, increased fetal exposure to tobacco, alcohol, and drugs, increased likelihood of low infant birth rate or death, and a higher risk of abuse. And this is just in the reproductive area, and then there are the many other wellness exams and comprehensive healthcare services that Planned Parenthood offers. Meg, let me turn to you. Let's talk about, there are some major myths that seem to crop up in the discussions on Planned Parenthood today, and if we can deal with them individually, there are five of them. The first one is that Planned Parenthood's federal funding frees up other money to pay for abortions. And why is that a myth?
Well, the myth speaks to the fact that we do receive federal funding and that some of our clinics do provide abortion services. However, we are mandated by law to not utilize any federal funding toward abortion care. In fact, we have very strict protocols surrounding that to the point where we even separate our supplies. We can't even share Band-Aids, for example, with an abortion clinic if we are a family planning clinic that receives federal funding. So it's very much a part of our awareness that that money is not to be used for abortion services. Unfortunately, the myth has sort of taken it a step further to say that by simply providing that funding to our organization, it is essentially allowing us to provide that service.
And Tanya, feel free to jump right in here. Any other additional comments to that myth?
Well, I would just say that we take our commitment to providing this preventive care to uninsured women and men very, very seriously. So why would we jeopardize our ability to provide this care? We take the law very seriously, and we want to maintain our ability to provide these critical services.
And one other thing that I understand about it, it's not like you have all of this money. What you get from the federal government or any governments doesn't begin to cover the cost of your services, and you have to get funds from private donors and other sources just in order to cover the cost of the comprehensive care that you offer.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Another myth, which we've talked about, but I'll just throw it out there. The myth is that 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is provide abortion. And you've already stated that it's actually only 3% of what you do is to provide abortion. And where are the abortions in Wisconsin available, Meg?
We have 3 centers statewide, one in Appleton, one in Milwaukee, and one in Madison.
And out of how many centers?
27 statewide.
So it's a small service. And as far as providing abortion, if somebody walks in, you are not counseling people to get an abortion, from what I understand.
No, in fact, what we do provide, and this is another myth, what we do provide is what's called comprehensive options education. In other words, through sort of the basic, and this isn't just a Planned Parenthood notion, but a healthcare sort of core value is to ensure that patients receive what's called informed consent. In other words, that they receive all options available to them so that they can make an informed decision about their own healthcare. So we do provide accurate evidence-based information about what a woman's options are, but we leave it to her, it's between her and her healthcare provider, to ultimately decide what is best for her. And so that's really the basic of any pregnancy education that we provide. We do not influence a woman in one direction or other what we should do, and absolutely respect that it is her decision to make. Our role is to let her know what all of her options are and to provide her with factual information to make that decision.
That falls in line, what you're saying, with the third myth that defunding Planned Parenthood will reduce abortions. That actually, from the statistics, women spend about 5 years either being pregnant or trying to get pregnant, and about 30 years trying not to get pregnant. And the Guttmacher Institute estimates that half of the country's unintended pregnancies end in abortion. So if you're not providing these services to either prevent pregnancy or to counsel people, then this would be a myth that defunding Planned Parenthood would reduce abortions.
Absolutely. I'm not even sure where that statement came from, factually or otherwise, because primarily what we provide is pregnancy prevention. And by preventing pregnancy, we are therefore preventing abortion.
And isn't that just a so much better way to not have to deal with an unwanted or unintended pregnancy than to have to go through
Absolutely.
An abortion, or to have that choice, you know, be an option for you? Another myth, Planned Parenthood serves only teenagers and prostitutes. And I think somebody said this recently in amidst the argument. And
wow.
So, yeah, what, yeah. Tanya, you obviously.
Well, and I think you said this at the top of the show, that 1 in 5 women have visited a Planned Parenthood or been a patient at Planned Parenthood at some point in their life. So a myth or a statement like that is really egregious. We serve women throughout the course of their lives, and men as well. And I think that that's really important for people to know, that we serve both partners, and we do also serve a lot of men, though primarily our patient base is women. And the majority of our patients are not even teenagers. The vast majority of our patient population are between the ages of 18 and around 30. So that is beyond a myth. That is, it's really sort of jaw-dropping, frankly. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah, according to your statistic, you serve men and women of all ages, races, income levels, marital and social statuses. And it's really it's a segment of society. You actually have a picture of a snapshot of society just in the people that you serve. And I understand one of the fastest growing groups are women over age 44. that they are having reproductive health issues or moving, you know, through their reproductive stages, and certainly need to have comprehensive health care at that particular point. And then the fifth myth, people don't really need Planned Parenthood. And what do you have to say to that, Meg?
Well, 3 million patients each year visit Planned Parenthoods in more than 800 health centers in every state nationwide, in big cities and small towns. So to say that we're not needed, I don't even know how to respond to that, because clearly we are. Sort of embedded in the statement of they don't really need us is the implied thought that they could just go somewhere else. And unfortunately, that is absolutely not true either, because of the fact that we are able to see a vast array of men and women in a wide variety of income levels, with or without insurance. We are absolutely necessary in order to provide health care statewide. Many, many people are uninsured and have no other options.
Yes, go ahead, Tanya.
I'm sorry, and I was also going to say, I think there's, you know, been the notion that, well, as Meg said, they can go somewhere else with the, you know, which is also implied that, oh, they can go to the health department or, federally qualified health center or a community health center. We work with all of those entities in the communities that we are in. We work very closely together. We refer back and forth to each other. So we have relationships with those entities, and we are a part of the healthcare infrastructure in these communities. It's not that we are set aside and separate. We are part of the healthcare neighborhood, as it were.
So if somebody comes to you, Meg, a woman comes in and you do some of these screenings, does that woman stay with you for then her comprehensive health care, or do you refer her to another clinic? How often do these referrals take place?
We do referrals on a regular basis, not only our patients who need to be referred to another facility for specialty care beyond the scope of what the services we are able to provide, but we also, and what a lot of people don't understand, is we receive referrals from outside providers as well. Very often, local OBGYN offices, endocrinologists will refer their patients to us to provide birth control for their patients, because they know that we can provide that service to them at a much lower cost. And oftentimes these are uninsured women who have chronic health problems where a pregnancy would be absolutely detrimental to their health. And so they see us as sort of a partner in providing her the comprehensive health care that she needs. So we do often work very closely hand in hand through referral processes in both directions.
That's one of the aspects of providing birth control. It's not just to for unintended pregnancies or unwanted pregnancies, but it's to deal with other health issues or health risks that the woman has.
Exactly. And both the World Health Organization and the CDC and other reputable organizations such as the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology will say that for women with chronic health problems where a pregnancy would be even further detrimental to her health, abstinence and barrier methods should not be the birth control of choice, that they really need a long-term reliable method. And so that's why a lot of times these specialists will send their patients to us, because they recognize the importance of preventing pregnancy during the course of their treatment, not only because it could escalate their already current health problems, such as blood pressure or diabetes, but in fact, the medications that they're receiving to treat their chronic health condition, whether it be cancer, chemotherapy, for example, could have a detrimental effect on an unintended pregnancy.
What is the scope of the professionals who are serving patients, serving women in or and men in the Planned Parenthood clinics? You are a nurse practitioner. Are there other nurse practitioners? Are there physicians on hand? Who is there professionally?
Yes, primarily what staffs our clinics are board-certified physicians, and those physicians can be in the field of family practice. Our medical director is a board-certified OBGYN. We also have physicians that practice in our abortion centers and in centers that provide colposcopies and what we call specialty or consult clinic services, where by law only physicians can provide those. primarily the family planning centers are staffed by what we call mid-level providers, primarily board-certified nurse practitioners, certified nurse midwives, and physician assistants.
Do these people have their own clinics and work part-time and come into the Planned Parenthood clinics, or are they full-time staff people with Planned Parenthood?
Within the family planning centers, they're primarily full-time and work only for us, but we do have some providers that work for other agencies, yes.
We're talking with Meg Robertson and Tanya Atkinson today, and Meg is a nurse practitioner and lead clinician for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Tanya is the executive director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. And we'll continue our conversation with them after we take a short break. One of the things I want to now get into is the issues specific and unique to Wisconsin. Legislatively, what is being discussed and what is at risk and what the hopes are that would be in the best interests of the people, the citizens of the state of Wisconsin. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here, online at homehealthunited.org. This is all about living on Madison 1670 WTDY, also on carolcobyradio.com. And we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to our program. Our guests are Meg Robertson and Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Tanya is the executive director of the Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. And Tanya, in that role, you are talking to our leaders, our legislative leaders, our appointed officials, to make sure that the people who make decisions about the services that Wisconsin citizens can receive understand the full benefits of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and the comprehensive nature of the services. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we are seeing an attack like we've never seen before in Wisconsin on women's health and rights.
What about, let me ask you first about the pregnancy care centers. There's been some conversation about them, and, well, they can offer these kinds of services to women, and this is actually what we need. What is your response to that?
Well, there's a resolution that's been introduced that would honor these so-called crisis pregnancy centers. And, you know, first of all, I think it's really important that people understand that these centers do not provide any actual women's health services. They're not staffed by licensed medical professionals, even though they falsely advertise themselves as health facilities, and they're not regulated, either in the context of medical advice or referrals that they provide women. So if legislators really cared, if legislative leadership really cared about women and women's health, then they would put back the funding that they took out in that Governor Walker proposed taking out in the budget, which would completely eliminate Wisconsin's contribution to the family planning program. So, and if they really, you know, cared about women's health, they would remove the provision that takes men out of the family planning program because both partners need to receive this comprehensive care. So if they really cared about women's health, they would maintain an investment in these critical services, not honor these centers that do not provide any actual women's health care.
Do you have anything to add to that, Meg, regarding these crisis pregnancy centers?
Yes, I've actually had the experience of, and of course I won't name names, of seeing patients over the years, and these so-called pregnancy crisis centers have been around for a long time, who have come to us after having been seen there and very upset by the lack of accuracy and sort of the false and misleading way that they were brought into their centers. They were told that they would be provided with pregnancy testing and accurate fact-based information about what their options would be. And in fact, that was not the case. Not only were they not told that abortion was a safe and legal option, they were misled and told that abortion is actually harmful, could cause long-term health effects, interfere with her ability to have children in the future, and were very much against that. And essentially were so bold as to say that they should not have one ever.
And this information was provided by people who are not health providers.
Not health providers, correct.
Where does the funding for these centers come from? Who is behind them? Who are these people that are talking to the women and men of Wisconsin?
Well, I can't speak to where their funding comes from particularly, but certainly these are conservative, religious-based entities. And I also would like to note that we have many wonderful faith-based communities that are supportive of Planned Parenthood and understand how critical the work is that we do.
You have brought up the budget, Governor Walker's budget, and what he proposed and the conversation that's going on in the legislature right now. And explain to us, to help us understand clearly what the dilemma is, what the situation currently is, what they're proposing, and what Planned Parenthood would like to see.
Sure,
so we
absolutely
understand it.
Yeah, so first, Governor Walker's budget proposal would eliminate, not cut, but totally eliminate state funding for Wisconsin's only women's health and family planning program. And that provides funding to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, but also to dozens of our partners across the state of Wisconsin. The budget proposal also eliminates men's family planning coverage under the Badger Care Family Planning Program. And as I indicated before, it's really critical that we also provide this essential reproductive health care for uninsured men as well.
So this has nothing to do with abortions. This is family planning, reproductive health, basic
yes.
health and wellness, comprehensive health and wellness for women and men that does not even touch on abortion.
That's absolutely correct. And these are absolutely critical services that are provided, and it's not, you know, at the end of the day, these are real women that need these services and real men that need these services. I mean, for example, our patients are absolutely wonderful, and they, you know, our patients, our former patients really, you know, come forward and tell these stories about how critical it is to have these services. And we have, you know, one woman who has spoken out publicly on a number of occasions, and, you know, for her confidentiality purposes, I won't say her name. We'll call her Judy. And she credits Planned Parenthood with saving her life. In the early 90s, she was in her 30s. She, you know, went through a divorce. She was suffering some financial issues. And so she made sure to come every year to Planned Parenthood to get an annual exam. Well, one year she came to Planned Parenthood for her annual exam, and out of the blue, her routine pap test came back really abnormal. So our nurse referred her to an OBGYN who actually diagnosed her with a rare form of cervical cancer. And this doctor told Judy that if she had skipped her regular checkup and hadn't gone to Planned Parenthood, the cancer would be very advanced by the time she actually showed symptoms. And so Judy credits Planned Parenthood with saving her life. And that's just one story out of the hundreds and hundreds of stories that women tell us every day. So these cuts in the budget will impact women and men, their health, and their lives at the end of the day if these funds aren't put back in and if the state doesn't maintain a real, true commitment to women's health and reproductive health.
Well, prevention is so cost-effective. It's always cheaper to prevent or to catch something early than it is to do the heroics or the Hail Mary after the fact, and it's very costly to fund major, major health issues, and what it's so harmful on just quality of life if you're just looking at it from that particular perspective. So prevention is just common sense. Medicare now has included prevention and annual wellness exams and its coverage for seniors, which is, I think, a tremendous new benefit that will be one of the incentives that will cut the cost of Medicare, just because people are going to get screened early, conditions are going to be caught, and they're going to be able to be managed better. I am unclear. It says that the proposed cuts to family planning could endanger $11 million in a federal grant, and yet there's $1.9 million in state grants for birth control and health screenings that go to Planned Parenthood and other providers in Wisconsin. So what's the $11 million grant, and what's the $1.9 million? And how are they related?
Right. Well, often with a federal grant or federal funding, there's a required state match, and they call it maintenance of effort dollars. So when the state gets a grant from the federal government, we make an agreement to say this is our contribution, this is our financial contribution, and in some cases this is our programmatic agreement that we will maintain these services as a condition of receiving this grant. And what is happening is that Governor Walker is willing to take a gamble with, you know, prenatal care and preventative care in order to reduce the funding for family planning. So by taking out these family planning dollars, we are putting this entire 11 million maternal child health block grant at risk, and that entire block grant is designed to promote, you know, healthy birth outcomes for women and families. It supports prenatal care, immunizations, and programs to reduce infant mortality. So for the purpose of removing family planning, we are putting at risk that entire 11 million grant.
Because the block grant does have designated areas that have to be covered in order to receive the total amount. The 11 million is an umbrella amount to provide and specific services, and a percentage of those dollars going to specific services. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Well, that is a part of it, but also we have the required maintenance of effort dollars. So by taking out the family planning dollars, we're taking out 1.9 million of our agreed upon state federal match. And so if we take that those funds out, the federal government may say, this is not the agreement that we had. You are backing out of your agreement, and so we're not going to provide these funds to Wisconsin any longer.
So in addition to the $1.9 million, you might lose another $1.9 million from the federal government that would be matching funds for these services.
I don't think it's a dollar-for-dollar match, and I don't have that level of detail right now.
But it's additional federal funds that would go.
What we're risking is the entire $11 million grant from the federal government by not, you know, by changing the program and by taking those funds out.
You talk about services to men, reproductive services to men. Meg, what kind of reproductive services do you offer men?
Well, primarily what we provide is preventative health care. We initially will go through a very comprehensive health history to identify any current or chronic health problems, blood pressure screening. We also offer testicular exams, which testicular cancer is primarily in the age range of the men that we see in our centers. Prostate exams, if necessary. We certainly do screening for STD testing, including chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV, genital warts, molluscum, and provide treatment or referral for any of those types of situations. For health concerns that we've identified via their health history, we also provide referral to other healthcare providers that can see them for those services. So the services that we provide currently for men, the scope is a little bit more narrow than what we provide for women, and a little heavier on the side of referral. But again, we are also a referral source for other providers in the community. We also provide education about birth control methods to men and understand their role in birth control and provide condoms and teach them how to use condoms correctly. So it's a wide variety of services that we provide to men as well.
That's something we haven't talked much about, the education component of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
You have strong education programs across the whole population.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk just a little bit about what programs you offer?
Sure. We have an excellent education department that not only provides education internally to our staff, but also gets out into the community, provides education to health school nurses, they provide what we call train the trainer group sessions to ensure that the information that is out in the community is fact-based, comprehensive. We also have trainings that people can come to us to obtain. And Tanya, you could probably speak a little bit more to our education department than I can because you're involved a little bit more in that. But we definitely have a very strong education department, and we take education very seriously.
Yes, absolutely. We have, in addition to what Meg has talked about, we offer our services, our education services, in both English and Spanish. And we at Planned Parenthood believe that parents and caregivers are the best educators for their children. So we work very hard to make sure that the adults in the youth life have this information. And we have you know, we train youth care workers and people in community-based organizations, but we also provide education for families. And in fact, we have coming up in Madison a free adult child community education event on Saturday, May 14th. And folks can go to our website. I'll plug it here.
Sure,
please
do.
Go to our website at www.ppwi.org for more information and to register by May 2nd. And so what that event is, we bring teens and parents together into one session, and then maybe they'll split out and have, you know, their respective conversations, and then they'll come back together at the end of the day, because teens and children really look to their parents as their primary educator. I mean, the research is very clear that young people want to have these conversations, and they may not seem like it when they're, you know, mumbling one word at the breakfast table, but they really look to their parents and their caregivers and trusted adults to be those primary educators and to share the information and also to share their values. So we try to make sure that we can provide as many services to parents and caregivers and other folks in their lives as possible, so that those conversations are happening whenever the opportunity arises.
And what is your approach? What do you teach them, tell them about birth control?
Well, you know, comprehensive sex ed is a lot about decision-making and healthy relationships, and so it spans much beyond the birth control. And so what we talk to parents about is, you know, parents know their own child. They know at what age they're ready to have certain conversations. And so we provide them information about, you know, at this age or at this maturity level, if these questions come up, you know, these are the responses that you may, you know, want to have. And then we also do provide, you know, education on birth control. And, you know, we provide them, you know, it's an abstinence-based program. So, of course, we share with them that the most effective way to prevent pregnancy and STDs is to remain abstinent. But if you choose to engage in a sexual relationship, here's the range of birth control options that are available to you. And like Meg said, we also make sure to try to help people understand how to use those effectively. And in some communities, we have peer educators who talk one-on-one with young people. And then in Madison and in Milwaukee, we also have health promoters from different communities that talk with parents, usually via a house party, sort of a house party model, where they talk one-on-one with other adults about how to have these conversations about their own health and mm-hmm. about the health of the people, the health of the people in their lives.
What's interesting about the controversy going on, not only has abortion been brought up, but birth control is at risk here in Wisconsin, and they want to remove birth control as one of the prescription drugs required to fill if an insurance company's offer prescription. Is that right, Meg?
Yes, and Tanya, if you could actually speak to the contraceptive equity law initially.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, in the last legislative session, there was a historic number of initiatives passed that would protect and advance women's health, and one of those was contraceptive equity. And what that law said was that if an insurance company and an insurance plan provided coverage for prescriptions and prescription drugs, then they must also cover prescription birth control, which is very important, again, for access for individuals. And what happened was, it was proposed in the state budget to rescind that law, and that proposal was taken out of the state budget. However, it's our understanding that will come up again as a standalone legislation, because they remain committed to removing that law. And it is more cost-effective. The research, again, is very clear that it's more cost-effective to employers who actually cover prescription birth control than those who don't. So this is again an ideological attack on women's access to health care. It's not a fiscal response to our, you know, what's happening in our economy right now.
We need to stop for a break, and we're only going to have a couple minutes left, but when we come back, we will talk about what you would like people to do to become more informed, and if they have a comment to make to the legislatures about the services that they would like to see in the state of Wisconsin, how they should go about doing that. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment has been brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. We'll be right back after these messages. We're talking about Planned Parenthood, and I'm just going to quickly go through the list of the services offered by Planned Parenthood. Every year, the affiliates provide contraception to nearly 2.5 million patients, more than 1.1 million pregnancy tests, nearly 1 million pap tests, identifying about 93,000 women at risk of developing cervical cancer, 830,000 breast exams, helping alert patients to possible cancers. In addition, they provide high blood pressure, anemia, and diabetes screening, counseling about smoking cessation and obesity, and connect people to other primary care providers and social services depending on their need. That's just in a kind of in a capsule of just the breadth of services that I understand that Planned Parenthood covers. Tanya Atkinson, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, Meg Robertson, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, a nurse practitioner, are here today. Tanya, what would you like people to do regarding these services, and what would you like them to let their legislators know?
Well, first and foremost, we want to encourage everybody to take care of their own health. And then with regard to what's going on in the legislature, we encourage people to call their elected officials and tell them to invest in comprehensive women's health care. Talk to your friends outside of the Madison area and have them contact their elected officials as well.